Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are in week 3 of our Tough Issues series. Throughout this series, we'll be talking all about real and scary issues that we may not want to face. Every week, I'm going to start us off with a disclaimer. And we did make a warning video that is on our Facebook page, app, and website. But I'm going to do a live version right here every single week before the sermon. So for the month of October, we'll be going over some very serious and sensitive topics. We will be discussing hard topics like addiction, sex, depression, and anxiety, and anger and rage. Some may find these topics to be too mature for their children, or they may find these topics too hard to deal with in this moment of their life. But in the reality of our world and our lives, we cannot just ignore or gloss over these real issues. And why we feel it is necessary to talk about and deal with these issues is because we have to come from a Christian standing. Because the world has their thoughts, they have their views and issues on the topics, and you better believe they're going to tell you that they are right and they are good what they're telling you to do. And that's why we have to discuss these topics, and we're going to look at it from a godly standpoint and what the Bible is telling us about these things. And I pray that as we go through this journey together, that you come with an open heart and mind to God's teachings, and I look forward to see how God is going to work through this series. Now, I know we've gone over some of the other hard topics, and so this week we are going to be talking about depression and anxiety. Now, this is something that has been talked about more in recent years, and somebody asked me, hey, what's next week's topic? And I said, well, it's depression and anxiety. And they said, wow, that makes me anxious. And so I was like, that's why we're going to talk about it, because it's something that a lot of people are starting to recognize and see. But the truth is, most are still suffering alone and in silence when it comes to the depression and anxiety. It is said that 21% of all adults in America will suffer from depression at some point in their life. And then with depression comes other things as well, or you have the other way around where anxiety causes the depression. But you have things that are lumped into that, like PTSD, social anxiety, different phobias, OCD, and everything that's in between there. This is not something new. This is just something that more people are finally admitting that they are struggling with. There are still millions, though, who have not spoken up, and we are telling them now we'd love for you to go through this and to talk to somebody about what's happening. So I want to start off with that there are two different major types of depression, and there is situational depression, where life situations and things that are happening around you, they affect your mood completely, and they affect how you live your life. And then there is clinical depression, which is a physical issue in the body where depression comes about because of an issue that's happening internally inside of you. So for both of these things, I'm going to encourage you right now, talk to somebody. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. Find a person to talk to about what you are going through and have them support you through this journey that you're going to have. And it could be something that you're dealing with for the rest of your life. Now, the second thing that I'm going to shut down right now is that if you suffer from depression and anxiety and you are a follower of Christ, it does not make you a bad Christian. It does not disqualify you from his love. It does not stop him from using you in his plan. This is something that you are going through. This is something that you are suffering through. And we have to understand is that this is not from God. Anxiety and depression is not from him. This is a problem that we have to deal with because we are broken people living in a broken world. Just because you're a follower of Christ doesn't mean that you cannot suffer from depression and anxiety. With that being said, we know what people and the world say about this topic, and I've heard most of these myself. My favorite is just find happiness. Well, thank you for that. That's very helpful. Or we'll have them say, well, you know what the problem is? Do what you think will fulfill you. That will change everything for you. Or do what you want, and that's just going to fix everything. I've heard live for yourself, and then all of this can be solved. This obviously does not work. If this does work, we would have a lot less depression and anxiety happening in this world. That's not how you fix these issues. This has been a problem with humans since the beginning. And we know this because all the way back in the Old Testament, thousands and thousands of years ago, we can read the hearts and the minds of men through their writings, and we can see the depression and anxiety that's happening with them. So it has been around for a very, very long time. If you go and read some of these Psalms from David, you're going to see both sides where he is flying high and everything is wonderful, and then you will see his lowest of lows. And that's because he was suffering from some depression. Now, for me, my favorite story in the Bible is someone like Elijah. He was doing amazing things for God. He actually was able to call fire down from heaven. So many people gave their lives to God because of what he was doing, and God was working through him over and over again. But then after all of that was said and done, you would think he would feel fulfilled and happy. This guy has done amazing things for God, but we see that Elijah falls into a depression. He secludes himself up on a mountain, and in a cave, he sits alone in the dark, and he doesn't want to get up. He doesn't want to eat. He has no motivation to do anything. And what happens is God comes to his aid in his time of need. I kind of see it this way. He's laying in this dark cave, and God's like, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" And we see Elijah goes, "Just leave me to die." And so he gives him some food. God gives him some food and allows him to lay there for another day. But then God comes back and he says, "It's time." And he puts him to purpose. And it's not that Elijah's depression was just gone. He didn't just bounce up and go, "Well, now I'm great." That's not what happened. But Elijah could see a hope. He could see a hope that only God could give him. And what he does is he draws closer to God. And you can read all of this in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. If you have never read this story, it is one of my favorites. I would encourage you, go read 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, and you'll get to see everything that's happening there. So now let's dive into some other verses about what the Bible says about depression and anxiety. And I want to start out in the Old Testament, and we're going to start with a single verse. It speaks volumes about depression and anxiety. It's from Proverbs 12. So if we could turn to Proverbs 12, verse 25 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, we have some in the rows and we have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. So let's go ahead and read Proverbs 12, verse 25. It says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." So I know it's short, but there's a lot happening in here. This is a vicious cycle, but it's so true. Our anxiety that we have, our worry that we have, it weighs us down, and not just for the moment. It's not like, "Oh, this hit me right here and now, but I'm okay 10 minutes later." No, and it's not just hitting us physically where you're like, "Oh, I just feel so heavy." No, what it says is it weighs down our hearts. So a few weeks ago, I preached about submitting our hearts to God, because if your heart is not in what you are doing, you won't commit to it. You're going to struggle to accomplish anything. And what happens is that anxiety, it says, it actually weighs down your heart, which means your heart is not in it. Your heart is being consumed by anxiety. And this all leads to our depression, because we feel like we just can't go on. We feel like we are alone. We feel like we are lost. Now, I'd love to say, again, these simple words, when you read this, say, "Well, just don't be anxious." Again, thank you. Very, very helpful. I would love to be able to do that. I've never thought of not worrying or being anxious about anything. But seriously, it's not easy to do. Whether it's something really big that you have to make a decision on or something really small, the truth is, it is almost impossible sometimes to get anything done because all we do is worry. And that's when we need to rely on God's strength, because you can't do it. We need to look to him. We need to know his words. And that's why the second part is so important. It says, "But a kind word cheers you up." A kind word can soften your heart. It can change your demeanor. It can change your day. When someone says something really nice to you and you're like, "Oh, thanks. Oh, you shouldn't have." Like, it kind of takes a load off of you a little bit. And sometimes it may mean the world to you. And other times, it doesn't really mean anything. You maybe become numb. You're anxious anyways. But the thing is, we have to change the thought process on what a kind word is. We think of something that someone is saying to you that is nice, and that is a kind word, but it doesn't always help in the moment. When we're talking about kind words that's coming from the Bible, we should be looking at His words. The words right here in this book, these are the kindest words you are ever going to read. These are the words that are going to see you through. These are the things that are going to actually lift your heart into the sky till you're ready to just live for Him completely. This is the only thing that can get you out of your funk. And sometimes we all have those moments. For me personally, I'm not a person that struggles with a lot of anxiety or depression. I'm very thankful, thank God, that that's not one of the things that I have to deal with on a regular basis. But with my position, with what I do here, I do have seasons. Sometimes are harder than others. Standing up and leading a church is a hard thing to do. I have to rely on God to lead me, to hold me, to strengthen me. And sometimes I lose sight. I will be surrounded by people, and I'm still going to feel alone. Sometimes I'm going to second guess every single decision that I make. I even ask questions like, well, am I even good enough to lead? Why would you even use me? How could God even use me? And sometimes I'm just tired from the fight. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a want. Everyone has a struggle. And it can become a lot to handle as the lead minister of a church. So what sees me through those dark times, those hard times? God's word. I'll pick up my favorite story to read, and sometimes it really does strengthen me. But for me, personally, what really strengthens me is worship. The words that we sing in worship, those are the kind words that hit me to my soul. And one that really hits me hard is a song called Broken Things by Matthew West. And so I just want to tell you what the chorus is. It says, now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it is true that you use broken things, then here I am, Lord. I'm all yours. And the reason I'm not singing it is it's not because of my stage fright to sing. No, it's because I want to speak these words. Because these are kind words that hit me so hard. Because I do feel that I'm lowly, and I am. I'm just a beggar. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm standing in front of God, and I'm saying, what do you want me to do? And I'm sitting here going, I'm broken. And God is saying, yeah, I use broken things. And I say, you know what, God? Then I'm all yours. Use me. Just as we read in Proverbs, those are kind words that cheer up my heart. And I pray that these are some words that can also cheer you up. Jesus had to help his closest disciples understand this as well. They didn't get it, and he knew that they were going to struggle and suffer. So we're going to turn to John 16, 16 through 33. John 16, 16 through 33. This is him talking directly with his followers, with his disciples. It says, Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father? They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, You will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Do you now believe? Jesus replied. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus here is preparing them for what is to come. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to leave this earth. And the disciples, they know him so well. They have been with him through so much. They have seen his miracles. They have had one-on-one time with Jesus. He has loved them personally so much, and he is telling them that he's leaving them, that he's going to be killed. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, you will weep. You will mourn. You will have grief. He didn't tell them, oh, I'm leaving you. You better not struggle. He doesn't look at them and say, you can't worry. He doesn't say, well, you can't have anxiety about this. You cannot be depressed. No, Jesus says to them, it's going to be so hard. You're going to have so much emotionally happening in your life. Your heart is going to be so heavy. But Jesus says, eventually, it will all turn to joy. All that sorrow, all that depression, he says, you can take heart. Why? Because no matter how bad it gets, you know that this will all end. Your broken heart, your broken life, it will be mended because Jesus has conquered it all. Jesus died for our sins so that we can be with him in perfection. That does not mean here and now. I would love to be able to say, you know what? You've confessed that you know Jesus is Lord. You went into that water and you were baptized, and then the rest of your life was smooth sailing. That's not true. That's not how that works. And it will never work that way while we are here. But he says, we have one day, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the troubles, they will be gone. And verse 33 says it all. Jesus wants us to know these things. Again, why? So that we can have peace. So we can have comfort, knowing that Jesus is all powerful. Yeah, it's terrible here and now, but you know what? It's okay. This is temporary, and Jesus has already won. You're going to have trouble in this world. Not that it will fix everything here and now. It's fixing our eternity and our souls. Jesus has overcome the world. He has given us a future that is perfect with him forever. So what can we do? Take joy now on this earth, knowing that. That should excite you. It's like the best thing that is ever going to come. It's going to happen someday. And you can say, you know what? While I'm here waiting, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go through these troubles in life, and you are with me even though I'm struggling. And that's what Jesus was saying to his followers. So we're going to go ahead and turn over to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I love these verses. Again, this is Jesus giving hope. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is right out of the mouth of Jesus again. And he's saying, are you struggling? Do you feel like you cannot carry the burden of this life anymore? He says, I understand. So come to me. The only rest that you're truly going to find in this life is in Jesus. And I want to make this clear. This is not saying that you shouldn't see a doctor, that you shouldn't see a counselor, that you shouldn't see a psychologist. This is not anti-science. No, you need to see your doctor. You need to talk to your counselor and your psychologist. But also, take heart in knowing that Jesus is the way to true freedom. I love these verses because we want to find any way possible to relieve the burden of this life. So we say things like, well, if I go on that perfect vacation, if I just take 4 weeks, imagine 4 weeks vacation, that would be amazing. That would change everything. That would release my burden of life. We say things like, well, if I just had more free time to do what I want, that'll really fix it. All my worry will be gone then. We say things like, well, if I just keep abusing this substance because that's the only thing that makes me feel good, that's going to ease the burden of my life. But all of this is so false. All this does is give us a temporary distraction. You may not think of the issues of your life in those moments, but guess what? Everything is still waiting for you when you're done being distracted. As soon as you're done doing the distraction, it just all hits you again. And usually, it hurts worse the second time around. So what do we need? We need something real. Something that can truly help you. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that stuff, that's not going to help you. It's not going to truly help you. Jesus here is saying, give your life to me. When you let go and give it to God, when you stop worrying and stop working for the things of this world, you will find that Jesus has already done the work. Jesus has already paid the price. Jesus already said, this is for you. It's a free gift. Accept it. And that's where you're going to find your rest. He doesn't say it's going to be rest for your weary bones. No, Jesus actually says you're going to find rest for something so much more. You're going to find rest for your soul. Again, we're talking about your eternity. We're talking about in the truth, knowing that when your time is ended here, you will rest in the Lord. And that means that the here and now, you can sit back and say, God, it's all for you then. If you know what's going to happen in the future, that you're going to be with him, that he's already paid the price, that he's done the work, you need to sit back and say, you know what, God? Every breath I have, it's for you. Every day I have is for you. I am here to serve you and be here for you until you call me home or you return to the earth. We're going to read one last group of verses, and this is for help with application, what to do, because it's very easy to say these things. It's a lot harder to actually put it into practice. So we're going to read Philippians 4. That'll be Philippians 4, 4 through 9. I need to get there real quick. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. And this says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is here what we need to be practicing. It starts off so simple, but so helpful. He's flat out saying, life sucks. Rejoice. When things are great, rejoice. You feel like there's no hope? Rejoice. We have to understand what that means. It's not saying, hey, when your life is the worst, be happy. That's not it. It's not telling you to be happy in the struggles. It says, rejoice in the Lord, meaning praise him through it all. God is still good no matter what's happening in your life. When things are the worst, rejoice because you have a God who has overcome the world and its problems. Things are looking terrible for you. Thank God we have a God that loves us so much that he will be with us through it all. And then we get to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Again, so easy to say. And God is not saying here, you better not be anxious. Actually, he's saying instead of worrying, give it to him. Talk to him about it. The anxiety is not helping you. It's not benefiting you. And living in your anxiety, it will not actually do anything to help you in this life. Instead, when you are anxious, what are we to do? Talk to him. Truly talk to him. It says pray. Tell him your hurt. Tell him your wants. Ask him for comfort. He's not a genie that's here to just grant whatever wish you want, but you will find peace and comfort in him alone. You may end up finding a peace in God like you've never felt before if you actually go to him. So what are we to do instead? It says think about good things. This does not mean puppy dogs and the best pizza ever. Okay, I understand. I think about that. I'm like, that's good. I like that. Yeah, no, that's not the good that's being said here. It says, what is true? Follow what is true. What is true is that the God of the universe, he knows you. The God of the universe, he loves you. The God of the universe sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you. Not because you deserve it. It's all because he has grace. And it's so you can be with him when you leave here. And all of those verses there, when it lists off whatever is, it's about him. God is noble. God is right. God is pure. God is lovely. All those things that are from God, these are the real good things. These are the things that we need to be focusing on. And it says that you will have peace and comfort like you have never known. I know personally when I sit in my sadness, I sit in my anxiety and depression, what does it do? It pulls you down. But when I sit there and I think about God, I think about his goodness and I praise him, it's the only thing that will keep me going and bring me back. For all those who suffer with anxiety and depression, and those who know someone who suffer from anxiety and depression, you're not a bad Christian. You're a broken follower of Christ. But take heart, talk to someone, go to your care provider, and more importantly, every day, go to God and talk to him. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. Either you or someone you know is struggling with this, and we need to help one another by being there and being open with our struggles. When you are struggling, go to God, pray to him and worship him, and also tell someone. So you can have support, someone that can give you God's word when you can't find it or hear it. This is not something that's going to just go away, but we can find hope in God and in his word. I'm telling you now, you do not have to suffer in silence. God already knows. God hears it. God sees it. Go to him. Talk to him. He's waiting for you, and you may find a peace like you've never known.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.